and welcome to A Drummer's Guide To. This is a podcast all about the things that it takes to be a professional musician, aside from actually playing your instrument, which we're hoping is a given. It's an never-ending process, and we're all growing all the time. It's the blessing, it's the curse. We love it, but we're not here to talk about playing instruments. We're here to talk about all the other stuff. So first of all, as always, I'd like to start out by thanking the wonderful supporters over on Patreon. Thank you for making it possible for me to consistently keep up with doing this for you and hopefully helping you in some sort of way, even if it's just in not feeling alone, or maybe it's just in that being entertained by my absolute lunacy as you're driving home from doing a gig late at night. And if you are one of those people, mate, I'm with you. You can do this. It's okay. I've driven many a mile, many miles at a very late times at night listening to podcasts. So I appreciate that that in itself is a valuable thing. And hopefully this will keep you awake. No, it will. It definitely will. I drove a bit tired the other day, and it was one of those things where I thought, my goodness, I used to do this so often, like weekly, multiple times a week. I would be driving home from gigs and then getting up to do rehearsals or whatever the next day, and I should not have been on the road. Like, if you are tired right now, please pull over, have a nap in a lay-by or like a service station, please. Like, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Please be safe if you are driving. Sorry, that's a bit of a tangent already, and I've only just started. So anyway, in short, thank you to the Patreon members. Thank you for allowing me to do this. So today I'm going to talk about hot cross buns. Food, I hear you say. I feel like I'm definitely losing my mind. No. We're not talking about food. I apologize. I know that this is probably, you might feel, what's the word? Deceived? I apologize. But we're not talking about hot cross buns, the food right now. We're going to talk about, it's a method, the hot cross bun method. And so, for anyone that doesn't know, I have been studying a psychology degree for the last 3 years. I'm in my third year of six, so I'm doing it part-time. And let me tell you, right? So the first 2 years I did this, that I've been doing this degree, it's been cool. It's been really interesting, but the workload has kind of been very manageable. And I'm like, oh, I'm on top of this. Look, don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect, and you know, there's always lots to work on, but I'm like, yeah, but I feel like I'm on top of this. Well, let me tell you, year three of six, when I tell you that the level has jumped, that would be an understatement. I mean, the level of intricacy, the level of detail, the information that is being given, the assignments that are being assigned, is just next level. I mean, it is fascinating. All of the information is so incredible. It's a lot to take in all of the time. And what's interesting for me, because obviously, sorry, maybe not obviously if this is your first time here, I have had therapy on and off since I was 20, so over the last 16 years or so. And I'm reading about the different methods that I have used or have been used on me from a practitioner, and it's really interesting just seeing it from the other side and how things work and why they work. Or yeah, it's super interesting. I'm going on a whole journey with it. I'm not gonna lie, it's sometimes really hard, very confronting sometimes, and I've had my struggle bubble moments, let me tell you, like where I'm just like, oh my god, this is a lot. And you're obviously dealing with like watching videos of sessions and people dealing with stuff that is very difficult. But anyway, this is another subject for another time, because it's, yeah, highly fascinating. I've always said the reason that I am doing this degree is purely for the information. It's not so much for the qualification. I mean, that will be nice at the end of it, but it's not about that for me. It's making sure that the foundations of my knowledge is kind of, the foundations are half decent, because I'm very aware that I do talk a lot about psychological things, not to say that I know what I'm talking about at any given time, not to say that I'm giving any sort of advice at any given time, but I just like to know that I'm not missing key elements. So anyway, I want to talk about hot cross buns. Now, if anyone has heard about this, you'll know what this episode is about. It's from the CBT family of kind of therapy, which is cognitive behavioral therapy. And that is based around very much behaviorism. So if you've heard of Pavlov's dogs, where this dude called, oh my gosh, I don't know his first name. Why do I think it's Anton Pavlov? I don't think it is. I think I'm thinking of Anton Maslow, and that might not be right either. Anyway, Pavlov, he did this experiment where he had these dogs, and he would ring a bell. He would then give or show the dogs food, which would then make their mouths salivate, and then they would eat the food, right? And basically, he would condition them to after an amount of time, despite whether the food was there or not, they would still salivate. So they would associate the ringing of the bell with salivation, like subconsciously, obviously, they're dogs. But anyway, that is what CBT is based around. But it's that kind of concept. It's very behavioral. It's very action oriented. It's very about that sort of thing. Very proactive. And it's always really jived with me really, really well. But I had this interesting conversation with, she is a psychologist. She teaches. And we were chatting about something, and I was saying, oh, I'm learning about CBT at the moment. It's really, really interesting. And she said that one of the things that people take away most from that is the hot cross bun method, if you don't know it already, blah, 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 blah. And then she said, I always use that method when I'm making big life decisions. And she said, and I will often have many bits of paper with this method, like scribbled out with what's going on. And I just thought, oh my goodness, it has never occurred to me. Like, I've used that method, but only when things are really dire, when I'm really suffering. But I've never thought about just using it day to day. And I thought, well, this woman, who is very accomplished, she knows what she's doing, she knows what she's talking about, she has a lot of information. If she's using this day to day, I should be using this day to day, and I should be actively using this more. Why am I not doing that? Why does it have to get to a point where I'm at desperation, breaking point, for me to then pick up these ways of dealing with things? And I just thought that I would share with you my understanding of the hot cross bun method, because obviously I am not qualified, but I read a lot. So you can look it up as well, because it's called the hot cross bun method because of the diagram and the visual of it. So definitely look it up, if even just to kind of like notice that. But it's kind of this idea that in any given situation, if you find yourself feeling anxious or anything like that, a negative feeling towards something, you kind of pick out different elements of your experience and notice how they kind of all feed into each other, they all don't help each other, basically, and then how you can counteract that. And I just want to share with you what the method is, as well as kind of some examples of how I've consciously realized that I'm doing this hot cross bun thing. So basically, in any given situation, again, let's say that you're coming into a situation, you feel really anxious or whatnot. There are four elements that kind of will be happening in tandem with any experience that you have like that, which is that you'll have certain thoughts that are going through your head. You will have certain feelings, like emotions going on. You will have certain physical sensation, things like, you know, your breathing increasing or whatever, things like that. And you will then have behaviours that you want to do or you do act upon, basically, to kind of often will back up the kind of things that you're feeling. What do they call them? Safety behaviors, which basically gets you out of that situation that you're in to stop these things, which often will make them worse, if that makes sense. So an example for me that I had really recently was, I don't know, you might laugh at this. It's fine if you do, I don't really mind. And bear in mind, I haven't had a situation like this for probably years. No, yeah, definitely years. So it really caught me off guard. So the situation was that I went into a social gathering that was full of loads of people that I didn't know. And it was a party, essentially, which is not my usual environment, should we say. It really isn't. Like, gatherings, yes, but this was like a party. This was like a house party. Oh my gosh. So anyway, I got there. Luckily, I knew a couple of people, so it wasn't completely like unbearable for me. But I got there and instantly I was like, I felt like I didn't belong, and I felt really anxious, like really out of my comfort zone, really overwhelmed by the whole situation. So in my head, I was going, oh my God, I don't belong here. What am I doing here? Like, everyone here is so cool. I'm not cool. I'm an idiot. Like, what am I doing here? I shouldn't be out this late. Blah, 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 blah. And then I was having feelings of like fear. I was having a proper flight or fight response, and I wanted to fly away. I did not want to be there. I literally wanted to run. In terms of physical sensations, I was breathing really fast. I was sweating. Anyone that knows me, I get the anxiety sweats. I am a sweaty Betty. It is not a secret. I could feel myself like getting quite overwhelmed by the whole thing. And then in terms of behaviors, like I say, I wanted to run away. I literally, as soon as I stepped in, I just went, I want to leave, I want to leave. And that is my safety-seeking behavior. It kind of, I feel safe when I'm by myself. Always have, since I was a kid, for whatever reasons, is kind of irrelevant why, that's just how it is. And I was like, oh my gosh. Luckily, because I was with people that I know a little bit, like fairly well, I felt safe enough with them that I stayed. I kind of was like, right. Do you know what the reality was? I was just embarrassed that I was so out of my depth. And I was just like, I can't let them see that I'm feeling out of my depth. Again, these are more thoughts that are kind of were happening in my head and making me behave in a certain way. Like, I had to save face almost. Again, they can't see, you know, that I'm actually not good enough to be here. They can't see, I don't want them to see that they're that I'm really uncomfortable, and you know, and feeling maybe a bit of embarrassment around that. And again, physical sensations, I bet I was going red, I bet the whole thing, the whole shebang. But as I say, luckily the behaviors, I did not run away. I just kind of tried to force myself through it and started chatting to people, which was incredibly hard at first. Now, as you know, I'm good at chatting to people. Like, okay, let's rephrase that. I'm good at chatting. However, I have this weird thing, right? I don't know if anyone else can relate to this. If I'm chatting one-on-one with people, I am in my element. I love it so much. However, if I am chatting in a group of people, especially if that group of people already know each other a little bit or whatever, I freak out. I don't know where to put my attention. I don't know. I can't, like, I don't know how to have a conversation with multiple people at once. I've always been this way. Always. To this day, obviously to this day, this was recent. I just, you know, I find myself in these situations noticing that. And that brings me on to my next point. So at the time, I was so overwhelmed and all that sort of stuff. But anyway, I persevered through it and ended up kind of finding a way of coping with it, which for me was just chatting to people in smaller groups, one-on-one, or in fact, yeah, that's when I started getting comfortable, was when I sort of sought out people and chatted to them one-on-one. And that was kind of fine. And I lasted for, I think, like 3 or 4 hours, which for me, win. That's a win. And then I was like, right, my social battery had emptied and I was like, I need to go, because it takes a lot of energy for me to be in that kind of situation. But anyway, it really threw me for six, because I didn't like this feeling of not belonging, this feeling of like I was gonna be rejected by every person in this party because I wasn't cool enough, because, you know, just all these thoughts running through my head. And anyway, after talking to my friend about this hot cross bun method, I was like, I'm going to unpack this and see what in the world was actually going on. And So I did. And like I said, all these things, these thoughts, feelings, physical sensations and behaviours were everything that I've just kind of told you about. Now, what's interesting about when you use this method, when you literally write it down, because obviously I've reflected on this, so I'm saying this in a coherent way. But at the time, before I'd written out, I was like, what the hell happened? That was kind of my feeling about it. It was like, I have no idea what happened that night. All I know is I don't like it. It was so unexpected. It was so overwhelming. Like, why did I feel like that? What was happening? And I kind of mapped this out and I worked out what I was doing and what was happening within me that made this happen. And I just thought, this is so valuable. I've got to share this because I think there's something about being made aware of the patterns that we kind of get into in the ways that we talk to ourselves, and then how our physical like sensations, how our body reacts to that, which then feeds into our experience of what's happening, and then, you know, it may emote certain things, or it may increase the emotions that we're feeling about things, and then the behaviors that we take are either going to feed into what's happening, or they're going to break the cycle. And again, for me, the awareness means that I am able to break the cycle. It's just I was not aware in that moment because it was so unexpected. It really took me by surprise, to the point that, you know, it was 2 weeks later and I was still thinking about it, just going, what happened? Like, just trying to make sense of it. But actually, if I had sort of had this hot cross bun method in my head, I think as soon as I walked in, as soon as I noticed this thought of like, you don't belong here, you're not good enough to be here, you're not cool enough to be here, no one's going to like you, you're going to be rejected, those were the thoughts that was the catalyst for me. It often is for me, it's thoughts, and I think it is for a lot of people. But if I'd have caught that and just been able to go, hold on a second, again, I've said this before, this is my favorite way of interrupting myself, it's just hold on a second. All right, hold on a second now. So I would have actually questioned those things. And I think, yeah, by making yourself be aware of these things, just for me, the most effective way to get myself out of that hot cross bun method, and again, everything feeds everything, so it depends what the initial catalyst is for you that might sort of like make you feel anxious about something, say. If you find a way to actually physically intervene, and by physically, I don't mean physically, I mean, it can be thoughts, it can be various things. I think there's a lot of power in that. So for me, it's definitely, it always comes from thoughts 99.9% of the time. So what I do is I start arguing with myself in my head, sometimes out loud, but usually when I'm alone out loud, and I will just be like, all right, hold on a second now. So you think you're not good enough to be here. Like, why? Why are you not good enough? You're an interesting person. You know how to have a conversation. Like, you'll be fine. You're going to meet some nice people today. You're going to meet some interesting people. That's what I would have said. And, you know, but I didn't, because I didn't clock it. So then I went on to these feelings of like feeling anxious, which then made me start breathing quicker and sweating and probably going red in the face, because that's what happens when I get like embarrassed and all that sort of sketch. But let's say the physical sensations were the first thing that manifested, and often I know that it probably sounds like such a cliche and so simple, but just focusing on breathing slowly and deeply, that would have helped me also if I'd have noticed it in the moment. Just calm yourself, and then luckily my behaviors thing did kick in, because I know why I didn't run away. It's just occurred to me, because I think there's a number of reasons why I didn't just leave, because I could have just left, I could have just gone, you know what, not for me, I'm out, and in the past, in all honesty, probably would have done. But I've mentioned this recently, there's a new way of thinking that I've had, which is where when things scare me, and actually this is the reason that I said yes to going to this party in the first place, because it's a challenge to me, and I'm like, right, oh, this feels uncomfortable. Okay, I better do it then. This has become my way of thinking recently, where when things scare me, I want to actively move towards them. Sometimes that's running towards them, sometimes it's creeping. But the point is, it's moving towards them. So I think that I had a moment of like, I really want to run away. But then I noticed that and went, no, but we're doing the moving towards the things that scare us right now. And I think I just gave myself that pep talk very quickly and then just moved. And it's interesting now that I'm saying it out loud that although these old thoughts of like, you're not good enough, you don't belong here, you know, you're not interesting enough, blah, 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 that were all happening. These are, I see as kind of like smaller thoughts these days. And for a long time, I'm not good enough was a thought that ruled my life. It ruled everything that I did. It is definitely a reason that I do a lot of the things that I do to this day. It's fine. I understand that about myself and I use it to my advantage. I try to be aware of it. But luckily, this thought of like, if something scares me, I need to address it. That has become such a linchpin in the way that I'm living my life at the moment that luckily that came up. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm moving towards this now. And therefore, the behavior that kind of interrupted that thought pattern and all these things that were happening. And whereas my behavior, my safety behavior would have been to run and go home and be isolated and be happy and probably sit in front of the TV and eat some chocolate or, you know, something like that. Instead, I was like, right, the behavior that I need to do is go towards this. So I just dove in, if you like, and started chatting, and it was uncomfortable at points. I did end up meeting some really interesting people. It was really, really nice. It was exhausting. But yeah, it was just interesting that this behavior of walking towards the discomfort as opposed to running away broke this pattern, this hot cross bun pattern of thinking and physical sensations and all that sort of stuff. And as I say, it's only as I say it now that I realise that that is what happened. I've been making sense of it over the past few days, but really that is what broke this pattern that would have continued. And the mad thing is, had I have actually walked away from that situation and not dove into, you know, chatting to people, it would have been in my head evidence that I don't belong at parties, at social gatherings like that. I don't, you know, I shouldn't say yes to things like that. And it would have been a case for supporting that argument in my head. Like I say, I very much work in this sense of like finding evidence for certain hypotheses. I think I've mentioned this before. There's a great thing that I read about your brain makes hypotheses and then, no, sorry. Yeah, like you make hypotheses about things, and then your brain will find a way to make it true. And maybe that's through thoughts, maybe that's through actions. I don't really know, but I just love the concept of this because it means that I can create the hypothesis and then I just test it out. I'm not too attached to the outcome. It's just about noticing it. Anyway, another subject for another time. But anyway, I just thought it was really interesting to implement this hot cross bun method just to make me aware of what happens so that I can maybe circumvent it a little easier next time, like even down to just breathing more deeply or whatever, or just noticing that it's happening. I think awareness is such a huge thing with anything when it comes to like anxiety, especially like social situations and stuff like that. But I was kind of thinking about how I've used that over the years and how you might use it too, because yeah, like it might be that, for instance, I had it a lot when, like, same thing, exactly the same experience or thereabouts when it came to, for instance, going to drum shows. So when I was a kid, well, I say a kid, from I think it was like 13, maybe 14, when I started going to drum shows, like the conventions, probably up until my early 20s, mid 20s, I don't know. And I would often be so uncomfortable socializing in those situations and chatting to people. And it was purely because, as I look back retrospectively and think about it, it was because I was saying to myself, I don't belong here. I'm not good enough to be here. I'm not playing with any artists when I was a kid, you know, I'm not, therefore I'm not credible, therefore I'm not a proper drummer, I'm not a professional drummer. Later on, when I was being a professional drummer, it's like, I'm not working with a named enough, a well-known enough artist, so therefore I'm not good enough to be talking to this person, blah, 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 all these things. With that came feelings of insecurity, embarrassment, just feeling very vulnerable, not in a good way. Physical sensations, again, sweating, sweaty Betty over here. Honestly, if you see some of the pictures of me at these drum shows when I was younger, sweat patches like you wouldn't believe. I've probably got big sweat patches right now, actually, thinking about it. But and then behaviours. Now, again, this was my coping mechanism. Now, rather than running away, which sometimes I'm sure I did, when it was too much, I would just step back and just go, right, I need to leave. My behaviour to cope with this would be to ask people about themselves and never give them the opportunity to ask me about me, because I just didn't want that embarrassment, if you like, of going, oh, of them finding out, realising that I'm not good enough to even be talking to you right now. So, I realised that that was my coping mechanism, and luckily it was a really useful one, because not only did it knock me out of that way of thinking to a degree, because it made me present with the person, it actually meant that I got to find out about that person, which to this day, I just adore finding out about people. I adore connecting with people, learning about them, their stories, their experiences. It is one of the greatest joys in my life. It really, really is. But the reality is that was, and at that party a couple of weeks ago, was my coping mechanism. I met some amazing people last weekend. I met a couple of directors, one of which wants to create a whole new genre of film, which I was like, oh my God, I'm here for it. That sounds incredible. I met a GP. She was lovely. I met a new couple who didn't quite know if they were a couple yet, but they were living together, which I found fascinating. Do you know what I mean? You end up meeting just really interesting people with really interesting stories. And I find that I can find my favourite thing is finding people's passion, that thing that you can see the spark in their eye. And it's just like, oh, tell me about that. I want to know about that. And as I say, because back in the day, going to these drum shows or whatever, I used to feel like that. But as time's gone on, often I'll go to a drum show, or I'll go to, for instance, NAMM just happened this past weekend. I'll go to NAMM, and there's a certain baseline of experience between drummers, musicians, creatives, that it makes it easier to talk, because you speak the same language, you have similar points of reference. So there's always a jumping off point, you know, there's always something that's happened recently or whatever, or, you know, like there's always a starting point of conversation. So these days, I love those social situations. I have a lot of fun at drum shows and at, like, NAMM, for instance, which, by the way, I'm sorry I didn't make it this year. I'm planning on making it next year. So if you want to come see me at NAMM, then we can have a chat or whatnot. But anyway, there's always a jumping off point. So it's just loads easier. I just feel more comfortable. I feel like people are my family. I really genuinely do. When I run into anyone that I know, like, as far as I'm concerned, we are family, and I operate with that premise, and I just want to know what you've been up to, and we can just, you know, as soon as you're my friend, that's it, you ain't getting rid of me. I'm really sorry about that, like, unless you really actively try, and good luck with that. So it was just really interesting to me. Like I say, it's because I came into this situation and there was no commonality in how I was going to talk to these people. I didn't even know how to start, and it was just super interesting. I found it interesting, but again, it's about this reflection of kind of noticing the thoughts, the feelings, the physical sensations, and then the behaviors that I'm doing. Sorry, this is turning very rambly, definitely, but I just think it's useful. I think it's a really useful tool to notice what's happening and then actively intervene and change something, to change that pattern, to change everything feeding into each other in the hot cross bun way. Again, please do look it up, because it's worth seeing it in kind of like a in a visual, if that makes sense. But and again, I'm retrospectively thinking about the different ways that I have inadvertently implemented this method and stopped the patterns, stopped the, like, just intervened basically. And it's things like, you know, when going on to a new gig, for instance, and let's say with the Voice Kids, for instance, when I first started doing that gig, and I sort of was learning to read, and that was fine. But then it became a thing of, okay, you've learned to read, but what if you're not actually good enough to do this gig? What if your playing isn't good enough? What if? And again, that was bringing a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress. I wasn't sleeping properly, you know, therefore I was exhausted, therefore I wasn't doing a good job in just kind of getting on top of stuff. It wasn't great. But I gradually sort of learned again, and for me it always comes from the thoughts. Well, no, it's either the thoughts or the behaviours for me. But I just questioned myself. And rather than going, well, no, I did sort of say, look, you are good enough in X, Y, and Z. But unfortunately, in my head, in my brain, at that time, I hadn't, this sounds mad now that I'm saying it out loud. I thought, I'm thinking of a specific time I was walking in a field. Oh my God, I just had a dream about last night about walking in a field. I was walking in a field and I was saying to myself, you know, what if you're not good enough? And I was trying to say to myself, well, maybe you are because of X, Y, and Z. But in my head, I hadn't done a gig. This is so, no, how can I phrase this in a good way? I didn't have the evidence of working with the level of musicians that I was about to step in the room with, and not just the caliber of musicians independently, but the combination of musicians collectively, coupled with the pressure that comes with playing on a live show, coupled with the variety, how quick the pace was. There was a lot of unknowns going on, and therefore I was like, I don't even know if I'm good enough because I haven't been put in this situation yet. So that was the fear for me, and I was like, I don't think I'm good enough, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. But so I tried to go down the route of like giving myself reasons that maybe I am good enough. It wasn't working, and you know, it sucked, to be honest. But then I chose a different tact, and I was like, right, what's the worst that can happen? Well, the worst that could happen is that I go into the room, we start rehearsals, and I can't do the job, and they ask me to leave. All right, so that's not ideal. Okay, but, you know, what are the upsides of that? Well, at least, you know, it's rehearsals. So it's not like I'm going straight into doing a live show. And so the stakes aren't quite as high as they could be, but they're pretty high. Okay, cool. So let's say that did happen, then what? Well, I suppose, because at the time, the Voice Kids, well, it still is, but the Voice Kids doesn't exist anymore right now. So the Voice Kids basically had me as its drummer, but then the Voice Adults had Dexter Hercules. Love Dex. Hi Dex, I know you're not listening, but love you to pieces. And so, okay, well, what's the worst that can happen? Well, I suppose the worst that could happen is that they just get Dex in on the kids. He already knows how it rolls. Like, he already plays with these guys. Like, actually, that's doable. That is it's workoutable. So that's how I kind of interrupted my thought patterns and my hot cross bun patterns, because it gave me the space to go, okay, so even if the worst happens, it's not the worst thing that could happen. Basically, my thing is letting people down. I'm not okay about that. And it was just lessening the pressure that I was putting on myself, which made me able to move forward and actually do a good job. And I do believe that I did a good job on that gig. It was a lot of learning, and I'm not talking about learning songs. I learned so much about myself and my playing through that gig. But by the fourth year, I definitely was in a place where I was like, yeah, I feel like I've found my groove with this. And I'm not talking literally. Well, yes, literally as well. But like metaphorically, it was like, yeah, I feel more comfortable here. Like, these guys and my family, I feel safe. I think that's what it is. It's about feeling safe in an environment. That's what it is for me generally. I think it is for most people. And thinking about it, that's probably what this party situation was as well. I didn't feel safe. There were too many unknowns. And there's nothing unsafe about the situation, not even slightly. But again, it's this irrational way of thinking. And it's the same with things like, for instance, in a smaller sense, let's talk about posting on social media. You know, oh, if I post this, people are going to think that I'm an idiot, or it's going to be really cringe, or, you know, who am I to be talking about XYZ? Who am I to be posting up about my playing? I'm not even that good. All these thoughts. And then sort of feeling inadequate, feeling demotivated, or feeling embarrassed, or, you know, just all those things. And then the physical sensations, I mean, maybe they're not that kind of, maybe breathing a bit faster, something like that. And then behaviours would be not posting, because it's easier to not post and run away from those feelings and those thoughts and all those things. However, again, noticing that, I now go, that's interesting. I think all these things and I don't have any evidence for it. I better get some evidence. So my behaviour now is to walk towards it. And I'm like, cool, I'm going to just post this and see what happens, because I need to get information. Basically, information if my hypotheses are correct. And 99.999% of the time, they are incorrect. Couldn't be more incorrect. And actually, nobody cares. And I mean that in the nicest way possible. I always say that. It's true. Nobody cares. I feel like also there's a really interesting shift that happens with this hot cross bun method that I kind of read about a little bit. And it is that, in fact, let me just say this first, because it's just popped into my head. So in terms of behaviours, there's the safety-seeking behaviour. So in terms of social media, safety-seeking behaviour would be to not post, and therefore it's enforcing this behaviour of not posting when you feel like you shouldn't be posting, because who are you? Blah, blah, blah. It's a cycle. But if you break that cycle, then you're like doing the non-safety-seeking behaviour. I think that's way more valuable. And I think also that feeds into this idea of, rather than being very introspective, I know, ironic coming from me, I'm the most introspective person ever. Not really, not ever, but I'm rather introspective. If you can take it outside of yourself, that's when you can start interrupting these behavior patterns, in my experience at least. And again, that's what happened at this party. I started just chatting to people, and then I felt way more comfortable. It just worked for me. Social media, same thing. I just kind of looked outside of myself and just go, right. And for me, a very important statement that I told myself is that if this helps one person in literally helping them feeling seen, feeling inspired, or even if they're looking at, say, my playing and going, she's awful, I hate her playing, I can do better, and it makes them take action, that's a win in my books too. So I can spin these things like you wouldn't believe. But the point is, I take it outside of myself, and rather than letting it fester within me, it's like, right, let's do something that is outside of me and then just see what happens. Do you know what I mean? And that has really, really helped me a lot in terms of, rather than, yeah, festering and just building up this experience that actually, when you put it into the real world context, into the context of the real world, blimey, I can't talk today. I can only speak about myself, I'm often surprised at the result in a great way. And look, don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean that sometimes it doesn't go my way, but it's never as bad as what I think it is. Only once has it ever been as bad as I think it is. And man alive, I've learned so much from that experience since then. I'm still learning from that experience. And that was 20 years ago now. 20 years ago. 20 years ago. Oy. Anyway, it's a good thing. It's a very good thing. And I think, again, this belief that I've picked up recently of running towards things that frighten me and scare me has been so empowering, because they're all these things, I just think to myself, millions of people have done what I'm trying to do, or thousands of people, depending on what it is. And I can too, because I'm not thick, I'm not stupid. I mean, I have my moments. I'm not smart either, but I'm capable. I know I'm capable. I know that I'm stubborn. And if I get something into my head, I'm doing it, like, whether I like it or not. And sometimes to my detriment, I'm not going to lie. But knowing those things about me, I use it to my advantage. And but yeah, this hot cross bun method, I'm now implementing it into little things that happen that I want to make sense of and want to change. Because often, you know, things do happen and you just go, why did that happen? Why did I react like that? Like, that's interesting. What caused that? What am I telling myself that is permeating this? And then how can I actually kind of change that if I want to? You know, you don't have to change everything. Look, we're all human, none of us are perfect, and I will continue to make mistakes, and they're hard and they're difficult. And yeah, what I will say is that I think it's going to be a while until I go to another house party, but I'm sure I'll go to another one at some point in my life, but it ain't gonna be like next week or whatever, you know what I mean? Anyway, I hope that this random episode has helped you in some way. And again, like I say, look up the hot cross bun method. If you just do a Google search for that, it will come up with what I'm talking about, and it will give you a visual if you're more of a visual person, which I am. But yes, anyway, I hope that you're well. And you might love parties, and you're just going, Emily, you're crazy. How can you not enjoy a party? It was a lot. It was very confronting for me. But anyway, if you've enjoyed this episode, please do feel free to like, subscribe and share. And if you would like to help me out on the podcasting platforms, leaving a review would be absolutely awesome. It just helps bump this podcast up so that other people can find it. I know that it's not what's the word? It's not strictly about music, this podcast. It is about the crossover between creatives and the kind of psychological side of stuff and dealing with it, because it's so important. I think it's so important to have that side of it, because we are, I think, as creatives, we kind of use our insecurities for our creativity, which is great, and it's a great way of doing it, but there are unhealthy things that come along with that, and for me, at least, there have been in the past. There still are. What can I say? I'm an obsessive human. Look at me, I'm doing a blooming podcast every week. If that isn't how meta is that? Anyway, so if you think that this will help other people, not only sharing it will help, but leaving reviews would really, really help. And then if you'd like to join the beautiful people over at Patreon, who are the reason that I'm able to keep this up, not just because of the loveliness of them putting their hands in their pockets, but also as in giving money, not just standing there like la da 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 da, but also the accountability that I have, because they've made that gesture, of which, as I will continue to say, you will never know how appreciative I am of that, and what that means to me. It's just the act of it is really incredible, and I thank you once again. If you'd like to join those guys, those awesome people, those awesome humans over there, then you can go to patreon.com/EmilyDrums. That's patreon.com/EmilyDrums. And if you'd like to check out any of the other random things that I do in terms of like recording, mentoring, or Drum STEM Club, my free drum multi-track club, or my remote recording business course where I teach people how to run their own remote recording businesses, or anything else, there's always many, many things always being added over there, loads of free stuff as well, like loads, then you can go to emilydrums.com. But anyway, thank you for being here. It's lovely. It's lovely chatting to you. I was gonna say lovely chatting with you, but you didn't say much, at least not that I heard. But it was lovely chatting at you. I hope that you're keeping well wherever you are, whatever you're up to. And I will see you next time for another subject. All right, lots of love to you, and I'll speak to you soon. It's